It's really inspiring to see someone set out into the world with gusto, to discover their passions, and to spread a little joy and color and fun among communities that could use a little boost. My niece, Nicolina, is one such person. She started a nonprofit artist collaborative called the Free Art Society in New York City. She did it to get guerrilla street art projects off the ground and to prove that making art together is a beautiful part of creating a community. Nicolina has traveled from Chiapas to China to Corcovado to inspire children and adults alike with her Hearts of the World workshops. That's where she gives each participant the outline of a heart, aorta and all. And then she encourages them to decorate it with images that reflect their dreams and their thoughts, as well as what they love and value most. Nikki, vamos pintar.
Vamos pintar. That's what we shouted to the children in the favelas in Rio de Janeiro when we did the Hearts of the World workshop there. We just walked around throughout the favelas and gathered the kids, and we were like the painted Pied Pipers.
Now, so just so people understand the context of this, you're into decorating the streets and buildings wherever you go. You went down to Rio, and you were staying in the favela, which is a slum, basically.
Yeah.
Tell us about what it's like to live in a favela.
Depending on the favela, it can be wonderful. They kind of get a bad rap because of their history, but now most of them are very safe. And, you know, the most alarming thing about them is you'll see police officers permeating the favela and they have giant guns.
So there's a heavy police presence, a lot of poor people, very dense population.
Yeah.
And do tourists generally go there, or do they, if they go to Rio, they'll sort of stay in the...
Some tourists do. There are things called favela tours, and...
Just to take a look at this.
Uh-huh, tourists will come down. I think that the best way to go to the favela is just to walk around yourself, probably. You don't really need a tour, I would say.
You're an artist, and you have your project, Hearts of the World, and this was this whole, let's go paint, vamos pintar. First, what is Hearts of the World?
Hearts of the World is an ongoing workshop that I'm doing with kids from around the world. Basically, I'm giving them an outline of a stylized anatomical heart, kind of like the ones that I often paint, and ask them to fill it in with whatever's in their heart, with their dreams and their passions and their fears and hopes for the future. They can paint it in with anything they want. And it's been really amazing. I've gone to many different countries with the project, and I always am surprised by the results.
So you're in a poor neighborhood, a slum of Rio de Janeiro in Brazil, and you don't have a huge budget. You're there with this vision, this passion. You need a bunch of kids to fill in these anatomical hearts. You go into a neighborhood, and you just say, let's paint.
Yep.
And then what happened?
It was really amazing. We sat on the dirt ground and sat around in a circle, and we gave the kids all of the panels, and they went crazy. They loved painting. It was the first time any of them had ever done it. First, they painted their panel, and then they would paint the back because they didn't want to stop. And then when the paper was completely covered, they painted themselves, and then they painted each other, and then they ran around in the street chasing each other with paint.
Now, had these kids painted before?
No.
This is the first time they had painted?
Yeah. You know, they're so hungry for things like this, for painting or some kind of way to express themselves.
So you did this the Hearts of the World project in Rio. Where else have you done it?
In Beijing, China, and Guangzhou in the south of China, and Japan, and Mexico, Chile, and some parts in the U.S.
So you're kind of like the Pied Piper of kids embracing life and filling their dreams on this little panel that they'll paint the anatomical heart, fill it with their hopes and dreams and passions.
Yeah, I mean, I really want to inspire kids and people in general to follow their dreams and express themselves and learn about other people and have compassion for people of diverse cultures.
And what have you learned when you look at the final works by all these kids who have filled in these outlines of an anatomical heart? Are they different, or is there more similarities? Are there cultural differences, class differences?
We're all fundamentally the same.
You've actually found that by the way kids fill in the hearts?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're all individual, and I think that's really beautiful and that we should express our individuality, but we all have the same emotions and the same kinds of dreams and hopes. So,
why an anatomical heart? And I mean, we know the Valentine's heart, you know. This looks like a right out of a medical book almost, that kind of a heart.
Yeah, I mean, it's got a little twist to it, but, you know, the Valentine's heart has been used so much and seems like it's lost its meaning.
What's an example of a particular child who filled in one of these hearts in a particularly faraway corner of this planet?
One of my favorite moments was in Beijing, China. I did the workshop at an orphanage for blind children. And there was this 9-year-old kid who was born blind. You know, I didn't know what to expect at all with this workshop. And I ended up outlining the hearts with yarn so that they could feel the outlines. I didn't know if they could understand what color was or what form would look like through painting. He first asked for blue, and he painted his whole heart blue. And I asked him what he was painting, and he said, "I'm painting the sky." And then he asked for yellow, and he painted the sun. And he asked for green, and he painted the forest. And I asked him what color he wanted next, and he asked for black. And he painted over everything with the black. And I asked him, "What are you painting?" And he looked up at me with these cloudy eyes and a big smile on his face. And he said, "I paint the darkness." And I said, "Why?" And he said, "The darkness is very beautiful. There are many color lights in the darkness." I think that there's so much that we can learn from these kids. Kids have a special kind of wisdom that tends to be lost as we grow older.
Wow. How old are you?
30.
30. You must think, why doesn't everybody do this? I mean, you could be just doing something very predictable in a very predictable corner of the United States, and instead you're going to small towns in China, you're going to the slums of Rio, you're going all over the world, you're going to Haiti coming up with this project. How do you do it?
I have a little business in New York called Paint the Town. It's something that I do together with my friends. We paint windows and we paint signs and murals. And every year after Halloween, I work really, really hard painting kind of like a robot every day, especially after Thanksgiving, because there's a lot of work then. And I paint until I can't paint anymore, and then
you get a one-way
travel.
Ticket somewhere.
Yeah.
God, but don't you, in a way, you're inspiring people just to get up and make more out of their life.
Life is such an amazing gift, and we all have this incredible opportunity to use it to its fullest capacity, and that's what I'd like to inspire in people.
Through your art. I'm Rick Steves. This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're speaking with my niece, Nicolina. Nicolina's website is nicolinaart.com. And her art society is the Free Art Society, and their website is freeartsociety.org. Nikki, in your blog, you wrote that Rio is the most beautiful city. The jungle comes right up to the town. Describe Rio. Why did it steal your heart?
Rio is amazing. The nature is everywhere, and the people are so joyous, I think because they grow up with nature around them all the time.
So trees, sunsets.
There are massive mountains all around you. The sea is incredible, and it seems like a richer blue than anywhere I've ever seen it. The sunrises are the most beautiful I've seen in Rio. They're kind of pearlescent, and I can't even describe them. You have to see them.
Now, you've got this other project that you dreamed up in Rio, Flutu Arte. Describe
Flutu
that.
Arte. This project I did with my friend Maxine Ninau. I wanted to paint a boat, and so I painted one, and some friends joined me. And then the next fisherman asked if we could paint his boat too. And I could see that it was spreading like a happy virus, as art tends to do, because it makes people happy usually.
These are funky fishermen's boats that are filling a harbor.
Yeah, there are about 60 in the harbor.
60 boats. And you're painting they sort of got a plywood rooftop that...
It's fiberglass.
It's a fiberglass rooftop.
It's kind of tricky to paint on.
that protects them from the sun and everything. And you've got a beautiful surface then to paint on the top of each of these 60 boats.
Yeah, we painted murals on the tops of 58. We tried for 60, but there were a couple people who held out.
These fishermen, their boats were pretty special to them, I would imagine.
Yeah, we got to know the fishermen really well, and one of them told us that a fisherman's boat is like his wife. So it was very important for us to have the artist. We worked with 45 different artists from around the world and all around
Rio. So you're like tattooing his wife.
Yeah.
So you got to, did he care
better
what
you Better not mess up.
did he care what images you put on his boat's rooftop?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, some fishermen who cared less, but many of them were particular about what they wanted and had us paint a shark or a mermaid or their favorite soccer team, the Botafogo. We had a few Botafogo shields.
So if you've got some artistic wild image and you talk to the fisherman, he goes, "I want my football team's shield."
Yeah, you know, some of the artists were a little disappointed with that, but but we told them to go as crazy with it as they could.
Nikki, you talked about a fisherman's boat is like his wife. You also had a boat that you painted that was dedicated to Marina. Tell us about that.
Marina was this older woman who spent her whole life in the harbor. And for me, Flute d'Arche is kind of about her. The point of the whole project was to see to what extent art can influence the community that owns it. And in the very beginning of the project, she was really skeptical of us, and she'd paddle around in her little rowboat and kind of glare at us, like, what are these intruders?
So she's looking at these Yankees, and they're painting up the boats.
Yeah, and they're like, what are you doing to my harbor? I never gave you permission to do this.
This is her terrain.
Yeah, and one of the fishermen actually dedicated his painting to her and had the artist paint a black pearl in homage to Marina. And I had never...
Why a black pearl?
She was dark, and that was their nickname for her.
The black pearl.
The black pearl, yeah. So beautiful.
So then what did Marina's attitude, how did that impact it?
So by the end of the project, first of all, she ended up loving us, which was so great to be accepted by her of all the others. She beamed when we asked her if she liked the boat, the Black Pearl, and then she asked us if we could paint a seahorse on her own boat.
You won over Marina.
Yeah, it was a great achievement.
Now, how did you get your workforce to do this big project, painting 58 boats?
Well, we were staying at a local hostel, and people would come through from all over the world. And so many times people came, and we kind of ended up taking over the hostel in a way, because people would come through and meet us and see the project we were doing, and they would change their travel plans to stay with us and help us paint boats.
In order to help you paint boats, yeah. on the Flute d'Arche.
Because we had a lot of fun while we were doing it all, so we would always take the boats out and have barbecues on the sea, and we'd take them out to this abandoned jail at the mouth of the Guanabara Bay. And it was really a magical time.
So travelers coming through Rio could stumble onto your project and help out. What's the fun? I mean, you work all day painting in the sun. After dark, what goes on? How do you mix it up with the locals?
Well, sometimes we'd have a barbecue on one of the boats. Sometimes we would go out dancing. Sometimes we would go exploring abandoned buildings in Rio. And this one particular night, we went to stay the night at this abandoned hotel on the mountain of Corcovado, which holds Christ the Redeemer. And we built a big fire there and sang songs and told stories. And then when the sun came up, I went up to Christ the Redeemer alone and walked all the way up the railroad tracks before it was open and walked through the turnstile without paying any fee. And no one was there, not a tourist in sight, and I saw the sunrise in Corcovado and the Christ the Redeemer statue. And that was another magical moment.
People spend a fortune to have half the magic of that.
Yeah, and you don't need money to get the magic, that's for sure.
How long were you in Brazil?
I was there for 5 months.
Did you pick up much of the language?
I did pick up some. I learned most of everything that I know from the fishermen.
From the fishermen?
Yeah.
What's a key word we should all know when we go to Brazil?
Show jibola.
Show jibola.
It's slang for awesome, yeah. And you can get a long way with that word.
Awesome, yeah. So jibola. Is that right?
So jibola, yeah. It's a football, soccer term.
There's big times coming up for Rio. In 2014, it's the World Cup. In 2016, it's the Olympics. And you've painted 58 boats right there. Mm-hmm. If people want to see the boats, where do they go?
They go down to the historical neighborhood of Urca. And that is nestled right between Corcovado and Pau de Açúcar. The Sugarloaf Mountain. It's very close to the Sugarloaf Mountain.
Because you can see the Christ statue from there.
Yeah.
And if people don't have an airplane ticket all the way to Brazil, where can they see it online?
They can see it at flutuarte.com. FLUTUARTE.com.
You can see all the boats.
You can see all the boats from...
58 boats.
Yeah, the website is set up as sort of an aerial view of the harbor.
Nicolina is inspiring us to make art a part of our lives right now on Travel with Rick Steves. She organizes artist collaborations under the Free Art Society in New York City in order to encourage public art. And Nikki has photos of the colorful works she's created around the world at nicolinaart.com. That's nicolinaart.com. You can also find links to our guests on each week's show in the radio section of ricksteves.com. Nikki, your organization that you're a part of in New York, Free Art Society, what is that?
We're a group of artists and musicians and writers and adventurers, and we're all about volunteering our time to make art for the public and erasing the lines between the spectator and the performer as much as possible.
To have people engaged in it.
Yeah.
Now, you're engaging in it. How do you get permission to paint on these public spaces, or do you just do it after dark?
We do it both ways. It's good to get permission, but if it's a kind of public space, then we just go for it at night.
So if you want to do a big thing at night, you have to be pretty quick.
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
Call that flash art.
Flash art. Tell me more.
Yeah. Well, we've done some projects with a lot of people, I think the most being about 60. And we've made a 400-foot mural on the sidewalk in the East Village in 5 minutes.
In 5 minutes. So you have this all coordinated, and it's like a military operation.
It was an art army, yeah.
An art army. Now, if you're painting rooftops in Rio of boats, or you painted a funicular train car in Chile,
mm-hmm.
where do you get the paint, and what kind of paint do you use, and what concerns do you have there?
If I can, I bring the paint with me. For Hearts of the World, I always bring the paint with me because it doesn't take up a bunch of space, because you never know if you're going to be able to find it in a foreign place. But for big projects, I'll usually buy house paint.
And when it comes to sleeping and just providing for yourself, are you staying in with people? You're crashing and like couch surfing, Airbnb, hostels? What do you generally do?
I absolutely love couch surfing. I would pick that over any other way to stay somewhere. Anyone who's going to offer you their couch for free is probably an awesome person.
And you can do this all over the world.
You can do it all over the world.
You just go to the website.
Mm-hmm, couchsurfing.org.
And you're a fan of that.
Big fan.
So you could go to, you're going to Haiti.
Yeah.
Shortly. Do you buy a one-way ticket or a round-trip ticket?
I'm kind of flying by the seat of my pants, but I'll buy a ticket to Haiti and then to Rio. I might also go to Trinidad, and if I do that, then I will probably go right before Haiti.
And what is your daily budget when you go on an adventure like this?
I should think more about that, but I just try not to spend money.
See, you just try not to spend money.
Yeah.
You meet people, you sleep on couches, you'll paint for your dinner.
Yeah. And then when I run out of money, I'm going back.
Well, I can hardly wait to hear about more of your adventures, and congratulations on brightening up the world.
Thank you. Brightening up the world brightens up my own heart, so I'm so happy to do it.
The spirit of an artist with a travel bug.
Yeah.
With a
sure.
Wanderlust. Enjoy your next trip.
Thank you so much.
Soji Bola.
Soji Bola.
Thanks, Nikki. Why don't we take a little piece of summer sky, hang it on a tree? For that's the way to start to make a pretty world for you and for me. And for the sun, we'll find a name. Oh, can't you see the little bird of ours will be the prettiest thing? Much of the street art in New York and other cities shows up in some of the most unlikely places. Up next, Moses Gates tells us about the appeal of going out of bounds, going off limits, to explore what he calls hidden cities, where urban explorers do not fear to tread. It's Travel with Rick Steves.
Soji Bola.
Soji Bola.
Thank you, Nikki.
Thank you.